What You Need to Know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Take it away, Lindsay. Thanks, Lindsay. I threw it to myself there, you know.
Was I supposed to do something there?
I mean, it's okay. I got it under control.
All you had to do was tell me and I would have read
it. It's okay. I got it under control. No worries.
All right, cool.
All right, so what you need to know is that Beyonce's Act 2 Cowboy Carter is breaking records already. So both Spotify and Amazon Music announced on social media that the recent drop of her 8th studio album has been very successful, so much so that it became Spotify's most streamed album in a single day so far this year on Friday. They said this is also the first time a country album holds the title this year. So, you know, obviously Beyonce's foray into country music has been a smashing hit. I know everyone had, like, you know, the pictures, they're like a play on the cover where she's on the horse with the sash. Everyone was like doing their different, you know, Photoshop edits of that all weekend long.
That's what I did.
Is it?
That's how I spent my
weekend. Prove it. Let me see.
Yeah, I did an Easter color version.
Big on the Photoshop. Yeah. The Beyonce and the horse.
Yeah.
The horse.
You'd be surprised how much of a, you'd be surprised how
nothing
much of a
worse
weekend
than the horse
that you can kill doing something like that.
You have three kids and you're still Photoshopping Beyonce.
Kids, I'm still Photoshopping.
Sorry.
Go watch YouTube.
But Dad, the Easter Bunny didn't come.
I'm Photoshopping Beyonce on a horse.
I do want to say that I know that you guys, you might know, Brian. Like, I don't know. Are you familiar? I know Beto doesn't listen to country at all.
I do.
You do? Okay. So
Garth Brooks.
I love Garth Brooks.
I got friends.
I love
low
me some Garth Brooks.
Places, and that's all I got. And the Mexican guy, Karin Leon. That's about it.
So Beyonce covered Dolly Parton's Jolene.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you can't do that. Like, you can't.
Why?
Why?
I don't know. I just feel
everything
like you
gets covered.
I know, but that song is like a sacred
Shaggy
song.
Shaggy covered everything.
No, but like, you don't think. You don't
by
think
the way, I don't even know who Jolene is, so.
Jolene. So, Jolene.
No clue. It's so Beyonce can do whatever I want.
But like, you don't think.
Songs are made
Beyonce,
to be covered.
Right. Beyonce covered that song, I'm sure, with an appropriate sense of reverence.
And Beyonce can do whatever she wants.
She didn't
wants.
Do it better. Nobody does it better than Dolly.
I didn't say she did
Dolly
it better, but
why
I
did.
She respected, I mean, I guarantee you that she has a tremendous amount of respect.
What's
for
Jolene
Dolly
sound like?
I mean, she did do it justice. And then I saw that Dolly, to finish the story, I saw that Dolly like tweeted about it.
Right.
And was like, Slay Queen or something like that.
Right.
So
like, that's
like, okay.
That takes that song and Dolly Parton and introduces it to an entirely, it's like when, what's his face, Luke Combs did Fast Car.
Oh yeah,
like,
you're
takes that
you're right.
And introduces it to an entirely new audience of people.
So I just think it's funny, like hearing Beyonce do country.
But this is like her background.
Yeah, she's from Houston.
I know, but it's just not what you're used to hearing from her.
It
Beyonce can do whatever
right.
she wants.
There was a
I will never
people,
go against yeah, Beyonce no. and the Beehive.
No, but there was a certain segment
that's
of
Jolene?
The population that was very upset.
That's the Beyonce version.
Country.
I like.
Yeah, she's right. Incredibly talented.
Hey, I got Channel 56 on my Sirius app on my car.
Yeah, I don't like country music, but like
I do.
I listen to this.
I do.
You got the denim.
I mean, people wear denim in other situations.
People wear denim in other situations.
I just like Yellowstone. That's it. That's all I got.
So I've never seen that, and I'm actually looking for a new show because I've watched everything on the planet because I'm a homebody. So I was thinking about starting Yellowstone, and I started.
It's slow, but.
Is it?
It's slow.
I need a
you
show.
You have to pay attention.
I need a show. Anyone has a show, please let
actually,
me know.
The Gentleman on Netflix.
I already watched it. It was great. Mm. I watched it in like one night, actually. I just binged it.
You need a life.
I caught
no,
up
I don't.
On
oh, I did hear. Emily said that was
Showman's
good.
Showman's great.
Emily said that was good. Yeah. I'll try that.
But now
I trust
I'm caught
her
up.
Opinion.
All right, so that's what you need to know. Brought to you by Morongo, as Billy Mack would say. Good times. Mm-hmm. Lakers are off today. They'll be in Toronto tomorrow. Washington Wednesday. They'll go 5-1 on this trip, and NBA standings will not change because Phoenix and Sacramento do not cooperate. Like, how's your podcast going?
Good.
There's a YouTube
component.
Better
when they win.
Is it really?
Like, we're on YouTube right now.
Yeah.
This is another place that I'm on YouTube.
Why does your brother tweet for those sickos that want to watch?
Because it's a sex joke. Like people who like to, like sickos who like to watch. Like
you can make those jokes on that chair. Right. In that chair, you can make
yeah,
all the jokes
fully
you want.
Expected. It's, fully expected. Fully like expected.
Yeah, this
like
has been the PG right. show today.
I love how he like looks around to see if anyone.
No, it was joking.
Yeah, LeBron
so
might
funny.
Say something.
Right, no, but it's like, you know, that's the joke.
The horse. Lakers finishing the ninth spot.
That's a good spot for that.
Ninth spot, the Lakers?
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, if they got to win the last two. They basically can lose one more game and realistically have a chance. If they lose one more game, they actually have a pretty decent chance based on Phoenix's schedule of finishing eighth.
So Minnesota Sunday?
It's either Minnesota or Golden State. You can't lose to Cleveland, can't lose to Golden State. You can pick one game. You can lose one game. You lose two, you probably need too much help.
So how about they just finish it out and beat everybody?
That's the thing.
Is it possible?
Of course.
Cleveland, Minnesota, Golden State, Memphis, and New Orleans.
They played Minnesota well. They played Golden State well. Here's the
Golden State at home.
At this point, the most important thing is like you have to be – my biggest issue with the Lakers all season long is like they have not had like a 9-game win streak or they win 12 of 14 or wow. You know, like no team that wins a title doesn't have at least one of those streaks. Go on it now. You know, it's not too late.
You going to go to the Cleveland game Saturday?
Nope.
I'll be there.
I got
that's kind of quick.
You know where I'll be on Saturday?
It's
where?
A Saturday
I'll
afternoon
be in Oceanside
game. Yeah,
and at a soccer tournament.
Oh, you're going? No, State Cup is done.
No, not for the high school kids.
Oh, high school? Your kid's in high school?
He's an eighth grader. He plays his teammates.
Wait,
is
your
high
kid
schoolers.
That? We have kids
no,
the same
he's,
age.
He's wow. He's 13.
He's playing up.
He's no, he's not playing up. He's it's 2009.
Yeah,
he's born in late December.
Yes.
So all of his teammates are high schoolers.
Oh.
They're all freshmen.
Wow.
Man. That was like me. I was like 16 when I graduated high school.
Look at you. You'd be, by the way, it's a $20 parking for that spot. Oceanside got me.
Yeah. But that is why I will not be there on Saturday.
Oh, well, I'll be there. Lindsay, you're going Saturday?
Yep.
12:30 game.
Yep.
DeAndre, you're going? Come
I
on,
asked
DeAndre.
Him to go. He said it's a Saturday. He said, no, not on a Saturday.
Oh, you don't want to see LeBron against Cleveland?
Mm.
Wow. You're getting that jaded working here that now you're like, whatever. I don't
know. No, we got to get him into the Warriors game on Tuesday.
Nah, you got to pay your dues. You got to go see terrible Cleveland basketball.
Right. And then Cleveland's not terrible. What are you talking about? They're the third seed in the East.
They are good.
Clearly, don't watch them.
Linz, no, because all I know about Cleveland is what you tell us. Cleveland is not good basketball. It is not good basketball to watch.
Okay. Well, I think you're wrong because you clearly haven't watched it. So
why would I watch Cleveland basketball? I got enough to worry about the Lakers.
I didn't say you had to, but don't say that they're bad if you've never watched them.
They lost their last game. They're terrible.
Well, what have you done for me lately?
They did play really bad lately, and they're kind of like, you know, Donovan Mitchell being hurt. I'm a little annoyed with them, but that's because I have much higher expectations for them.
Exactly.
They need to get past the first round this year, and it doesn't look like they're going to do that.
They might. All right. So hopefully the Lakers beat them on Saturday. They run the table,
listen,
AK.
They're not.
BK.
I'll be shocked. I'll be shocked if the Lakers don't beat them because I feel like that's one of those teams. Like, LeBron always gets up to play Cleveland, you know?
Well, he should get up to play everybody right now.
But I know, but you know what I'm saying.
You going to go Dodger game anytime soon?
Yeah, maybe. My kids don't like baseball. So it's
but
like
why you got to take them?
I don't, but then I got to find a night that I can go and leave them home and all that stuff. And, you know, good stuff.
You're the baseball guy.
I like baseball. And then you know what I like? What I really want to do, and I have not been to a game since the pitch clock.
Really?
I've not been. And so now it's like it's like a 9-hour investment. Now it's like 2.5 in, out. Let's do this.
Yeah, Dodgers Giants coming up tonight at 7 at Chavez Ravine.
Right. I mean, I'll go to that.
You'll go to that.
I would love to go to that. Anybody got tickets?
You let me know whenever you want to go. I got
wonder
you.
If I can. I mean, I'm still on their mailing list. Do you think I could get a like? Will they still credential me over?
Yeah, that's Carlo. He'll take care of you. Okay.
Beto, you still need to take me to a Dodgers game.
Hey, you're off. Get off early.
I mean, there's plenty. You know, with the Lakers, you know, we got time. We got time.
How?
I'm just saying. Well, you're right because you do the post game.
I do. Yeah, I work the Laker games.
I'm just saying. There's nights where they're away and you're doing the post game, so we could catch the beginning of the game, most of the game. Dodger
if
Stadium.
I'm paying $35 to park at Dodger Stadium, you're I'm staying there.
Staying.
I'm going early and I'm getting out of there.
How's the food this year?
I don't need a Dodger Stadium anymore. Mm. It's too expensive. Yeah. I'd rather go to Cheesecake Factory and spend money there. Yeah, because some of the prices.
Balling on a budget.
Well, no, because Dodger Stadium right now, you've seen some of the pictures people putting out there. You can get a sushi plate for $30.
Did you guys see that gif of Shohei Ohtani where they're talking to him in the dugout and he's holding up like the one, like he's asking a question. And so there's all these people that are quote tweeting it and trying to make things
like
up.
Like Dodgers menu items?
Yeah, like, and he's like, you mean to tell me one michelada is $30?
Right. Yeah, a michelada
like
is like $27, yeah.
I wish, because there are a lot of minor league teams sort of in the orbit of Los Angeles.
Yeah, Cucamonga Quakes.
But they're not... like just pop off like if I live basically at like the 10
yeah they're
La
nothing
Cienega.
By yeah
like it's not easy just to like pop over like that's how I would like it. Baseball is so expensive now And as good as that team is, like, you got to want to have like a family that wants to go.
I was actually having this conversation on Saturday. My boy Henry Ramirez, who is a big Dodger fan, he went on Friday. He lives in Riverside, so he doesn't go to many games. He was here in town working boxing. He's like, Beto, this is just ridiculous how crazy. I went by myself. Mm-hmm. And he's a beer drinker. He's like, I only had one beer because I can't pay $22 for a beer. It hurts. It hurts, but you see people going out there, and it's great. But you're spending $300-$400 no matter what.
Right.
Remember, it used to be where midweek game, you'd find one of the apps. Hey, there's an $8 ticket against a good team. Now, because the Dodgers are so good, and they're so popular, and they've always
just paid Shohei Ohtani.
No, but the Dodgers have always been a team that draws. But
right.
There'd be times in the year where, you know, it's a Wednesday game against Milwaukee, whatever. You'll find a $10 ticket or something, and yeah, let's go. Those tickets don't exist anymore for a decent seat. I'm talking about loge level.
For soccer.
Yeah.
My kids and I will, because it's reasonably easy to get to Carson if they want to go see the Galaxy, but we do it all the time for LAFC, where it's like the game's at 5 or 7 or something like that. I'm just watching on one of the apps.
Yep.
And you just wait, hey, you know, tickets are $22. You guys want to go? Go.
It's more for the Galaxy because LAFC is harder.
But it happens. It still happens periodically with LAFC.
Yeah.
But even that's expensive. But it's not Dodgers expensive.
Well, it's good thing your kids don't like baseball then.
No.
Or the Lakers.
But that's why I never bother tickets. It's like it's too much of an investment to just see if they like it. And it's like if you take little kids to a baseball game, especially in the olden days, pre-pitch clock, like you got to be prepared to leave in the fourth inning or. You're spending so much money on concessions to keep them busy that it's like a $600 day.
Yeah. It's going to be fun, though. It's definitely going to be fun.
This team's insane.
And I'm watching right now on Sportsnet LA. It's 6:15, and there's a huge crowd behind Harta, behind Adrian and Jerry Hairston, because they're there early. And the Dodgers did a great job renovating the stadium, making you want to get there early.
Let me ask you this.
Ask me on the other side.
Because I get an important Dodgers question.
BK's big Dodger question. Mookie Betts praise. All that and more. BK in for Jorge. I'm in for Sedano. We're both in on 710 ESPN.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
What movie is this in?
Really? I mean, it's the name of the song.
No, it's another song, too. In other movies, too.
No.
No.
Come on.
Just this one.
No.
Yeah.
Footloose, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
No, but I've never seen the movie Footloose.
I thought you were joking. I haven't either, but I still know that this
is. But right. It's in another.
I mean, it is the name of the song.
Nah, but it's in another song. It's in other movies.
I mean. Only if
the Footloose remake,
Footloose. Right?
Yeah,
I don't know. It just sounds like something that might be in Caddyshack or something.
Are you guys gonna watch the that Roadhouse remake?
Nope,
I don't even know what Roadhouse is.
You've never
seen
Roadhouse?
Too much respect for the original.
What's Roadhouse?
It's
Patrick Swayze
bar fight movie with Patrick Swayze.
Is that the something in the corner?
No, that's
Dirty Dancing.
Oh, then forget it.
Nobody puts Baby in a corner.
No, I don't know. So this Footloose is
wait, Kenny, that's
that was Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
Where the town band's dancing.
Again, I don't know many 80s. I know if it came on Channel 5, I know it.
Right.
Because we didn't go to the movies as kids, right? There was too many people in the house. So all our movies were whatever Channel 5, KTLA would show on Saturday afternoons. So that's why I saw the Goonies and I would see other shows. But like if it was one of these movies, no, I didn't see it.
I mean,
and I don't apologize for it. I don't care.
My parents never took me to the movie. The only movie I went to, I think, with my family was like The Little Mermaid. Other than that, I didn't start going to the movies till I was like a teenager, and I went with my friends. So
won't take you to movies. Won't let you sleep with your boyfriend in their house. They were
I wasn't even allowed to watch The Simpsons. Okay,
they were no fun.
I wasn't even allowed to watch The Simpsons.
Well, that was actually when The Simpsons first came out in the '80s. It was a little controversial about that. Yeah. Exactly.
What is this show?
All right, so you're saying something about the Dodgers?
Right, so here's my question. Yeah.
Which I kind of want to go to the game tonight.
What is the realistic, like, what do you think people think is, like, an acceptable over the next, say, 6 years or 8 years?
6 years?
World Series appearances, World Series titles.
Realistic?
Or not, just, like, what is acceptable? What do you think would be acceptable?
Okay, give me your parameters. Is this from a realistic Dodger fan or
like a
crazy Dodger fan?
Regular Dodger fan. Like, what do you think would be seen between, put it all together, Dodgers, media, whatever, what would be seen as like the bare minimum for this stretch to be successful?
So in my group chat, which is a baseball group chat, smart guys in there, a couple of people who really know baseball ins and outs, expectation would be four.
Okay, four in the next 8 years.
Four appearances.
Appearances. How many wins? Like two or three wins?
In the let me say this from a fan perspective. In how many years you're talking about here? 8 years, right? Fans would want at least five appearances.
Okay.
And three wins. If that's realistic.
I think that's okay.
The thing is, I always go with this. Once you get to the World Series, forget it. It's just so hard. It's a crapshoot. You never know.
Generally.
But getting there.
Right.
I would say five is realistic. I expected.
I think it's about right. And my theory basically is that this is the most important season of all of them.
This one?
This one. Every year that they don't win a World Series gets that much harder because the pressure and the expectations for it get higher and higher. And you go 2 years without winning, that third
one. So you're saying they got to win this year?
If they win
with
this
Ohtani,
year.
Who cannot pitch this year.
If they win, but Ohtani can't pitch this year, but they got, not only do they have their starting staff right now, they've got like half a starting staff that's expected to come back from injury in like August. Like you could turn Kershaw.
Walker Buehler pitched yesterday.
Walker Buehler
OKC.
Pitched, right. You know, you got Kershaw coming back at some point. You know, Gonsolin won't.
You're not really expecting Kershaw to give you much.
But it's his swan song, lefty, you know, a guy who come out of the bullpen, you know, lefty.
Come in July, okay.
July. I mean, you wouldn't want him to pitching until July or August anyway.
Correct.
So I just think, like, if they don't win this year, if they win this year, I think it's easier for them to win three out of five. But if they don't, every year they do not win, it gets that much harder. The pressure gets that much bigger. You're going to have one season where someone gets hurt or whatever it is. And the noise around whether or not this is a bust and a failure and all this stuff gets really loud.
You need to get to
really
quick. You need to get to the World Series this year.
I getting there would be nice.
Yep.
Winning it this year buys you three.
Your level of winning expectation higher than mine. I guess I'm just going to give them down because there is no Ohtani pitching for you, because that's also part of the reason why you signed it, because you have that arm for you. You want to have that. The Dodgers pitching is really good. Could be better, but we saw over the weekend, okay, they're going to need somebody that's a lefty.
They need a left-hand guy.
They're going to need to shore up some stuff. And, you know, Mookie Betts going to shortstop, and there was a good story the last couple of days about how Mookie wanting to be there. Mind you, I read that and I called somebody. I'm like, yo, how hard is it really to be a shortstop in the major leagues transitioning? And he said, you usually move from shortstop to the outfield.
Right.
You don't do it backwards.
Very.
And the story, I think, is by Fabian Ardai in The Athletic about how Mookie takes so many ground balls, so much work, and he's booting a lot of them because he's learning how to play the most difficult position in the big leagues in the most difficult market, right? This is hard. This is hard.
It's incredible what he's – people – again, it's another thing. He makes things look so easy.
And he's going to make mistakes.
I remember last year. I used last year. Last year was it was a rebuilding year. It was all these other things. And I remember, because I have a basic rule that I do not, I look at the standings, I follow along and all that kind of stuff. It's like baseball. But it's like, I don't give anything weight until like July.
Yeah, mid-June, after the All-Star break.
Mid-June, something like that, because season's too long. June at the earliest. I remember last year hearing all this, like, oh my God, the Dodgers are this, that, they're terrible, this way. I expected when I finally looked at the standings in like late May, early June, that they'd be like 8 games under .500, 6 games under .500, struggling really bad. Or they were like 5 or 6 games over.
And last year was the team that overachieved.
Right.
Because you didn't expect them to do much because they were saving it to go big.
But they like there was this sense of like, it's a disaster. I'm like, oh my God, they must be 7 under. And there were 5 games over in like a game out.
That's
of
why you didn't
place.
Listen to the Blue Review with right. Parker Bell and Greg Bergman.
But think about that standard with this team like two years from now if they haven't won a World Series.
When this team gets swept on a weekend series, and it will because it's baseball. As our good friend Kenny Lofton used to say all the time. Kenny, what happened? It's baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny, you hit a grand slam. It's baseball.
Good interview.
Yeah. You always look around like, man, why are you guys here? Baseball. We covered some interesting Dodger clubhouses.
Oh, my God.
Andre Heath here. Oh, you guys want to talk to me today? Well, yeah, Andre, you hit a walk-off
right.
again.
You weren't here talking to me yet because you grounded out 3 times. And like, but, like, you know, all there was what was his name? The Gonzo team. You know, I was
Luis
team
Gonzalez.
Guy, Luis Gonzalez, team guy, until he got, you know, the young guy. So that was the trash
team
can.
Team guy era. Until Matt Kemp showed
right,
up.
And put a trash can away from his locker. You remember Trash Can Gate?
No.
When Matt Kemp moved the trash can, like, away from his locker, like, put it somewhere, this whole, like, thing. Like, you know, sorry, Matt Kemp's moving trash, like...
Oh, that's right. Oh. Because he was a rookie and,
right, and
he wasn't taking any lip.
The trash can.
Yeah, the trash can was by a locker.
Right,
yeah.
He just moved it.
Yeah.
Like that's these right. guys, these guys were all team players and they were all veteran leaders. And then
Jeff Kent.
Until, no, Kent.
He had just left.
The one, no, he was there. But it was the one thing I respect about Kent. Although he was a good player. I mean, you have to give him that. But like, he wasn't a bleep the entire time. He didn't pretend like he was being a great team leader.
Kent.
If he was in the mood to talk to you, give you good...
He did want to talk.
But like these other guys, and you know, I mentioned Gonzo, and there were a few others in that clubhouse. You know,
2017.
Derek Lowe was one of those dudes.
Grady Little was the manager. That's right. That team finished fourth.
The minute the young players
still had 3 points
better than them, all of a sudden they went from being these great clubhouse leaders to... not so
okay.
great.
So that's when the Jacksonville Five were there. So it was James Loney.
Mm-hmm.
You had Russell Martin. Matt Kemp. Okay, Kemp, he got called up in the middle of the
right.
season.
They, that team, those guys used to like Penny and Lowe, and those guys used to routinely abandon all those rookies leave Russell Martin as the only guy talking when the team was struggling.
Furcal would not talk. In English or Spanish. Nomar was on that team.
Mm-hmm.
Nomar really wasn't a media friendly. We're considering that he's now a member of the media. But Nomar had his own things where he's like, look, I only talk at this time, I'll do that. It was cool. You respected him. Juan Pierre, he was cool.
JP was cool.
He was cool.
Hated him.
He was always working out.
People hated him because it's like, it's not his fault that, you know, he can't hit the ball very far.
Yeah.
He was a little fella.
The pitchers were Brad Penny, Derek Lowe, mm-hmm. Chad Billingsley, Brett Tomko.
Yeah. He was.
Oh, here's our favorite, Eric Stoltz, would warm up every single game.
But Takashi Saito was
Takashi Saito. He gave you socks, right?
He gave me socks. Toe socks.
Toe socks. Scott Proctor, Yancy Brazovan.
Oh, poor Scott Proctor.
With Jonathan Broxton. I think Proctor's still warming up.
I just say it's moments like those where you just get a feel for how
it's not like that anymore.
Like, but like team, it isn't in any sport. Like, you know, the access and all, it's all very different. But like, there's always something that isn't what you think it is.
Yeah.
With the veteran leaders and the guys with the shine. And I've seen it with the Lakers. I've seen it with the Dodgers. And I'm not pretending I'm the guy who's in the clubhouse or the locker room the same way now.
No, but we used to be able to see some of that
stuff. But like, you recognize these things. These are timeless.
Yeah.
And by the way, Iowa is going to beat LSU. They're up by 7 with 8 seconds left.
Oh, so congrats to Iowa.
Yep,
Michael Thompson all happy about that one. But those
next
Dodgers,
game is Juju, right?
Yes, Juju okay. against USC against UConn.
Paige, how do you pronounce her last
Beckers.
Name? Beckers.
Beckers? Yes.
Buckets. She should just go by Paige Buckets.
She should.
But those, putting that up, those Dodger teams, that was kind of the beginning of the change where you had like the old guard and the baseball isn't like that anymore. Where like, okay, you got to do this. CC Sabathia came out and said that towards the end of his Yankee tenure where you wanted to make sure that the young guys, when they get called up, they're not walking on eggshells. they're no longer, because you want them to help you on the team, but it takes a certain clubhouse to say, yes, we welcome it, we embrace it, let's be one together. And then some young guys, too, kind of take a little too much liberty, a little too much freedom, but also, baseball's different now.
But it's also, every sport's different now. We're like, you know, the quarterback, you used to, dating myself, but like you draft a guy in the first round as your quarterback, he sits for 2 years before he plays.
Yep.
Partially because the college game was so different than the pro game that they needed to learn like what was going on. Now everything, like what they do in, you know, in college,
they do it in Pop Warner now.
It's like they're running those style offenses, and then, you know, all the, and they're changing the pro offenses to calibrate with the quarterback. Like all of these things, you see what, you know, AAU, say what you will about the, you know, the AAU scene, it is a much more pro oriented game than what you saw in Indiana under Bobby Knight.
It's all a business now. It's now you go to high school, you better start as a freshman. You go to college, you better start. You go to the pros, you better start. It's completely different. Mm-hmm. Yes, we're sounding like old men right now, but we're enjoying it. And there's a good crowd at Dodger Stadium. They take on the Giants later on at the top of the hour. Iowa wins. They beat them 94-87. Man.
And they and look at that.
Watching the
Kalen
Dodgers
Clark and
pregame,
Angel Reese didn't punch each other after the game.
Oh, did they hug?
Turns out they don't hate each other in that way.
Rivalries are good. It's all this like bro, buddy, buddy stuff. I'm tired of it. Like,
but it's
good to have an enemy on the court. You need
it
a foe.
But it's like I also love that like the women's game has reached this point where like people get angry when they don't seem like when they show off how incredibly competitive and cutthroat they are.
And it's like,
we praise Kobe every year of his life for being that guy on the court.
Not when he was playing. People used to rip him a lot.
But like, you know, he's got it's the mama mentality. He hates everyone. He'll rip you, you know, he slices his own grandmother up to win a game and all these other. And now, but like, that's the competitive spirit that he's praised for. Kalen Clark does it. Angel Reese does it. All these, what are they doing? That's not sportsman.
Kalen Clark, 41 points, ties the tournament record for
a little
Rakes.
Bit of revenge.
Wow.
A little bit of revenge for last year.
Go Hawkeyes. All right, coming up, big deal or no deal, BK in for Sedano, Bethel in for Cappy on 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Sedano's not here, Morales, and neither are you, but it's been a fun show. DeAndre's been working the jams. BK's been working. Lindsay's been working. Cody doesn't want to talk to me today, but it's cool. Whatever, man. No, that's cool. Don't.
He doesn't want to associate himself with a criminal, you know, since you got one of these parking violations.
All I ever do is tell Cody, hey, man, if I'm on a show, I want you involved. The more the merrier. Involve yourself. You're good. You know what's up. But it's cool. We're not Travis because I ain't saying, sup, bruh. Take it away, Lindsay.
Is that a thing? He says, sup, bruh?
Yeah, I listen from 10 to 10 or 5. Go ahead, Lindsay.
Okay. So
don't even start, Cody.
There was some drama last week with the Minnesota Timberwolves and the sale of the team completely falling apart, right? So it comes out today that the reason is not what people were expecting. So Alex Rodriguez actually might not even have the money to put together for a championship NBA team, according to a source within the Timberwolves. So the owner, Glenn Taylor, believes that he was saving the team by snatching it away last week from Mark Lauren and Alex Rodriguez. Lauren A-Rod did have trouble raising money at a $1.5 billion valuation to raise their stake from 40% to 80% of the team by the March 27th deadline. So the buyer said that they raised the money just in time, but the owner said that they missed the deadline, and so he's terminated their option to raise their stake. So there's concern that if Lauren A-Rod can barely afford to buy the team, they won't be able to pay the luxury taxes to keep the young star players together. So that apparently is what's going on with the Timberwolves and that sale, majority sale, falling apart. Is this a big deal or no deal, Beto?
No deal, because Taylor will be able to find somebody who can. He's been trying to move on from the organization. And, you know, Taylor is, you read some of the stories that came out. He's a Midwesterner who said part of the reason I'm going to sell, and I'm going to be picky about who I sell it to, is they are not going to move the team. A lot of people are saying, yeah, I'll buy it with intention of moving it. Like, no, I want to make sure the team stays here. Also, story coming out that A-Rod and his partners had plenty of times to move the deadline, and they didn't. So they failed to produce, and then they failed to communicate. The big thing is that they have both been going on these media tours in the Minnesota media, A-Rod and his partner talking, and the next day Taylor talked. A-Rod said, yeah, as soon as this happened, he changed the locks. We're no longer have access to the facility, because Taylor was giving A-Rod and his partners access to the facility because they're eventually going to be the majority owners.
Right.
He's like, well, you're not going to be, so I'm taking away all the access, and you have the same access that the rest of the minority owners have.
So wait, question. If they own 40% of the team now, and then by raising it to 80, obviously they'd be the majority owners.
Correct.
But didn't they have all these privileges before they were going to raise the stake, or
so
no?
Taylor said when they were minority owners, same as everybody else.
Okay.
Once they agreed in principle to become the majority owner, and they were working on that transition to get there, that's when they were able to, Taylor gave them more access. So they were involved with the daily calls of how the business is running. Not the basketball side, but the business operation side of the new facility, everything else. Because the Timberwolves facility is the second oldest in the league. And A-Rod and his partner said, well, we need a new lounge. That way we can host potential sponsors. So Taylor, according to him, built them like a chairman's room at Crypto. He built them that, and it was like this fancy lounge that A-Rod and his partners can go to. They can bring partners.
I think George saw it.
And Taylor, the owner, he prefers to have dinner, just like our good friend Jerry Sloan would do, the Jazz former coach. He prefers to have dinner with the media section. Like, he's just a very humble Midwesterner about that. A-Rod was like, look, I built you guys this. Well, you're not going to be the owner anymore. Gone. So all the privileges are gone.
All I know is they were trying to buy an NBA team on layaway. And
well, Frank McCourt did it.
This is not a good sign.
Well, so I have a few questions here.
Like a couch.
How do they not have the money? Like, it's A-Rod. Like,
well,
how
because they were going to raise the money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you might have it, but you're going to get the loans and the valuation.
We're talking like in billions of dollars.
It says $1.5 billion.
Yeah.
And I mean, you mean to tell me between those two guys that they couldn't raise the funds to buy the team?
I mean, I don't know how big time money works like that. I can't even get a loan for a house, so I don't even worry about billions. But when you're doing that and you're getting investors, Lynn, you know these guys, they don't put all their money up. They get people to come out and fund it.
Don't you think it's a really bad look for A-Rod, though? Like, it may not be, like, you said it's no deal, but I don't know. Don't you think this is kind of like a stain on his reputation? And like, don't you think this is a problematic?
That dude's Teflon, man. He'll come out and say, hey, he works for ESPN and Fox. The only guy who would get away with that.
Well, he claims they had the money, and they said, no, he didn't have the money. I mean, so it's like,
as a guy who knows all about bill collectors, I got the money. It's on its way.
Okay.
I was going to send it. Oh, you know what? Oh, my card got declined. Must be a new one. Let me call Bank of America because they blocked it right now. No. Yeah, he ain't got no money.
I mean, it's, again, we're talking, it's billions and all these. But
billions.
This
is why you love
time?
Steve Ballmer.
There's a lot of middle ground here with, like, what are the deadlines? And courts will sort these things out necessarily and all. But, like, you prefer the Ballmer thing. Like, it's a great example. Like, I know Lakers fans like to give the Clippers, you know, flack, but
straight cash, homie.
And it's, you know, not everything Ballmer's done has been great and worked perfectly, whatever. But that guy, you don't have to worry about him like and having enough money. Like the Lakers have had fabulous ownership, and those people are dedicated to this team winning and all that stuff. But they're not rich in the way that NBA owners are. They're rich by like normal people's standards, but NBA owners.
Give me a Kroenke, give me a Ballmer, and people who have multiple billions.
Right.
I mean, doesn't Ballmer have like more money than all the other, like the, I think like the top.
All of them combined.
Yeah. He buys them all.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's like one of the top richest men in the entire world.
Yes. Stan Kroenke's a Walton. Like, I can tell you, I'm from St. Louis. He's not a popular man there. Yeah. But like if you are in the city where he's the owner and you're in the Rams, you're a Rams fan, bring it. Like that stadium, you know, this venue, this team, like that's what you want. You want an owner that is not going to, like, Ballmer is so hyper competitive that he built an entire building. And I don't think he had any conception of like, what else are we going to put in there other than the 41 Clippers games a year?
And he doesn't need them.
He doesn't need them. Yeah. Like that thing could be dark 320 days a year and like incinerate $100 million a year. And it won't, but I'm just saying
and
it
could.
And
that's nothing to him.
And it will not matter to him at all. That, perfect. Toilets. Let's do this.
I envy them very much as a, you know, the fan of a small market team with no money. All right, so next one here.
Dan Gilbert's got plenty of
money. No, I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about the baseball team.
Gardos?
Don't get me started on the Gardos.
We won't.
That's a Dolan thing, right?
It is.
Keep it going. What's up?
All right, so the Dodgers obviously already have a pair of Japanese superstars in Ohtani and Yamamoto, but another star could be on its way soon. According to Bob Nightingale from USA Today, I don't know how you pronounce this. The Chiba Lotte Marines.
Chiba Lotte
Marines. Yep. Pitcher Roki Sasaki.
Stud.
Signing with the Dodgers may be a foregone conclusion, according to, like I said, Bob Nightingale and Yahoo Sports Japan. They said that the Dodgers were among the eight teams with representatives at Sasaki's most recent start. He's been one of the more dominant pitchers in Japan since making his Nippon professional debut. He has a 2.00 ERA and a 0.83 whip over his 280-32 innings. He has 376 strikeouts and 56 walks. Can't get these words out today.
That's okay. But all that translates to he's really good.
Yeah, he's really, really good. Really good. And was going to ask you guys if this report or idea that he could be headed to the Dodgers, a big deal or no deal? B-Cam, you go first.
Oh, it's a big deal. I mean, like, they're just collecting people. Like, one more Japanese all-star and everyone gets a free latte. Like, that's basically what they're stamping their card just at this point. We talk about this, like, the pressure of winning. They need every single good player they have, and then they can actually start trading some of these excess starters and all these other things to either fill holes or, ironically, to rebuild their farm system. They're going to have so many extra pitchers and so many extra players that, you know, if Tyler Glasnow is healthy for a year, they can turn around and trade some of these guys or trade Dustin May, trade some of these other people for prospects that they can then turn around and trade for stars at deadlines. Like they have like a whole system here.
It's just crazy. They have their own ecosystem pretty much.
Right. They're the best combination of smart and rich.
For me, no deal, because you expect this. Anything that is Japanese baseball right now is being linked to the Dodgers, because everybody's going to have some sort of connection to Ohtani, right? So the Dodgers are rumored to have opened up next baseball season in Japan, and we're all going. Let's go. We're all going to Tokyo. We're gonna get there.
I'm down.
Yeah, I'm DeAndre.
Yeah, I'm down.
You got a passport?
I do, actually.
Okay, let's go. We'll be there. And you know what's gonna happen? We're gonna go watch that, and we're gonna get rumored to be the new Dodgers broadcast team because we're there watching the Dodgers. So anything baseball related in Japan, Korea, it doesn't matter. You're gonna have some kind of connection to the Dodgers because they can pay the most.
Oh, bad news, Lakers fans.
Now what?
2 minutes left in the third quarter in New Orleans. Suns 101, Pelicans 83.
Ooh, that's not good.
Lakers need the Suns to lose. Because the Lakers need the Suns to lose so they can pass them in the standings.
Oh.
We need the Pelicans to be Pelicans and not Pelicans.
Hey. That's my joke right there.
Love that joke.
Are you Mexican? No, I'm a Mexican. Not a can't.
A pelican, or are you a pelicant?
You'd be a great motivational speaker, BCAM.
I am. Good. Really am.
I'm sure that like your kids love these.
Get them fired up.
No, these little zingers.
Dad jokes. I was ready.
I'm a fan. I'm a fan. Big time. Oh yeah, that's it for Big Deal or No Deal.
All right, so Big Deal or No Deal. Thank you, Lindsay. Coming up, do you know about Dealer's Choice?
Do now.
Do you know what it is?
Something about cards.
Okay, we'll figure that out. Dealer's Choice with BK coming up. Sedano and Kat, Bethel and Brian Kamenetsky. And maybe Funch will come talk to us on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hit it, Jack. Couple shout-outs to Dan Rios, who's watching at home with his kids. His Twitter is called KB24 is the GOAT, so we know who he's all about. But he has this on his TV. Send me a picture. Also, Big E coming home from Vegas.
Vegas, baby.
On a Monday. He said, I enjoyed the drive home with you guys. Hey, not bad show.
Did he stop at Zizek's?
Zizek's Road? Uh-huh. Oh, I love that. You got to take a picture every time you go to Zizek's Road.
Yeah.
All right, so now it's time for Dealer's Choice, Bethel Duran, Brian Kamenetsky. I haven't seen you in over a year. I just realized that.
It's been that long?
Since the All-Star game last year.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought we'd like at least been in this building at the same time.
Maybe not.
Maybe. I don't know.
First time I worked together in a long time.
No, not ever.
Ever.
No.
Ever.
Absolutely not.
Yep.
No.
Ever.
No.
Yeah.
No.
He's like, no.
But like, you asked the question before. I was trying not to laugh, but like the question, like we were talking about the kid from Purdue and the soundbite of like, have you ever been overlooked?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like you're talking to two guys who've been filling radio hosts for like 20 years. Think you've ever been overlooked? A couple times. Yeah, I feel like that maybe once or twice it's come up.
Yep.
But no, and we've worked together.
Let me pull a Steve Mason. Yeah, memorable.
I didn't say it was good work. I said it happened.
And we got a flow. We got the flow going eventually.
It was a good show.
Yeah.
By the way, speaking of Vegas, you know how as soon as you get over the state line into Nevada when you're driving to Vegas, and they've got like three or four of those old casino hotels?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I forget which South one Point. It is. It's, no, South Point is in nice. Vegas. That's my jam.
You're thinking of Pahrump.
There's a couple.
Whiskey
There's like
Pete's.
Four. Is
no, Whiskey, Whiskey Pete's at state line.
That's what I'm talking about.
I think you said when you get over Vegas.
No, I said right. No. When you get to the state line, there's like four.
At Buffalo Bills.
Uh-huh. Buffalo Bill. One of them is being demolished this week.
They have the roller coaster.
Is that the one with the roller coaster?
I think so. They closed during the pandemic and they never reopened.
Yeah.
That was the last roller coaster
I've ever been on.
I wanted to like go in one of those. I've always wanted to go and just like see like how seedy it is.
No, they actually used to be super nice.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure.
They used to do like state line trips like... casinos would bring you and like fundraisers for like team sports teams and stuff like that. It used to be nice. We would stop there in high school going to the Vegas to go to the roller coaster. Yeah. You were like, woo! Then it's like, not that scary.
The last roller coaster I was on.
Yep.
I won't go on one anymore.
Well, now they have one on top of New York, New York.
Yeah, I'm afraid my heart will explode.
I would never go on that one.
All right, so Dealer's Choice, BK, take it away.
I was wildly unprepared for this.
Good. Welcome to the show.
That's my fault.
Perfect. We actually were talking about that.
Yeah.
Oh, Juju Watkins dropping me buckets. For this.
I'm sorry.
I may run something by you guys because we all have like things that like we find creepy or don't find acceptable.
In radio?
Yes.
With this crew?
Oh.
Adult twins. Like when you see, it's like you see like little kids who are twins and they're like, oh, so cute.
You.
They're like
I'm
3 years
you.
Old. Like, when you see 73-year-old people who are identical twins, I find that creepy.
Wait, do you mean like...
Did you run into some?
No, I'm just saying, if you ever see adult twins, it's creepy.
Wait, I have a question.
AF, as the kids would say.
Go ahead, John, go ahead.
I'm not going to lie to you, my girlfriend, her stepdad, he has a twin brother, like identical.
Do they look alike?
They look exactly alike.
Still now?
Identical.
Still now.
Do they dress the same?
Yes, they do.
That was my question. That's unacceptable. That is unacceptable. You can't do that.
You know, when you get when your kids, you're the same size, right? When you get older, one of them might eat a little too much. One might drink too much. You're going to have different body shapes. So these dudes look the same still?
They look exactly the same. Oh.
Like, I'm not saying this is like a phobia. Like, my son's
kind of scared. It definitely sounds like a phobia.
My son's scared of dogs. Like, he'll run the other way.
Good,
from
I'm with him.
Crickets or things like that. Like, but it's like my like version of The Shining. Like, you want, like, take those little girls in The Shining of the hallway or the fills with blood. They don't scare me. But if they were like 57? Nope.
Nah, it's weird. Like, their mannerisms and stuff.
They're the same. It's not okay.
They eat the same. It's like everything they do is just.
You know what?
Adult twins are not okay.
I've never seen them because I had a bunch of friends who were twins as kids. The Cobbles brothers,
Twins anymore.
No, but
they got a divorce.
Confused.
Well, I haven't seen them as an adult. So they used to always go together, right? And then you become an adult, you only see one. You wouldn't see the other one. You're right. What happens to them?
It's creepy.
So, question.
Now you're gonna screw with me the rest of the day.
I'm not the only person who thinks this, right?
And I will say,
in fairness to the twins, this is a me thing. It's not your fault. You're not doing anything wrong, although you really shouldn't dress alike after.
No,
like,
that's
12.
Unacceptable.
No,
because
if
very
I was
creepy.
A twin, I would so dress alike on holidays just to get people weirded out. Because I'll be doing, especially on Easter. Oh, we got the same fit. Oh, yeah. Little sweater vest going on. Oh, yeah.
No, not okay. Not okay.
There's a show on Netflix, and I think it's called, like, You Are What You Eat or something like that. But it's a show where they're trying to, like, prove how healthy a plant-based diet is, and they have like four or five different sets of adult twins that have like the exact same genetic makeup. They're pretty much the same size and body shape and everything. And they have one of them do the plant-based diet, and then the other one, I forget, they do like a similar diet, but it's not as strict as the other one. And so
you watch some weird stuff, Lynn.
It's a good show, actually. It's a good show because I was.
You need to get out of the house, woman.
Anyway.
You really do.
Anyway.
Because I'm concerned about the shows you watch.
It's
You're
a fascinating
watching twins
show.
Eating plant-based food and the other with a placebo.
The idea is just like it's a study. And it's like a reality show of a study that they did on dieting and like what's good for people and what's not. And it's crazy because there's like five different sets of twins. And I think like three of the sets, they are full-blown adults. And they do like live together and dress the same. They still like act.
Oh, it's very weird. You know where they're from.
They're from all over
Coachella.
The country.
Coachella.
It's creepy and weird and not okay.
All right. Dodgers, Giants coming up top of the hour. I think I'm going to go to that game. It's Fernando Valenzuela jersey night. So I'm going to try to sneak on over there.
Playing it at the top of the hour. That's what you made it sound like.
Top of the hour for me.
Okay.
For
me.
Coming up at the top of the hour is...
We have a Lakers talk.
Lakers talk with Slee?
Yeah.
Oh, that's why Funch is messing around. DeAndre, happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
You're welcome for the cake that I brought in for Brian. And I now made it.
It was delicious.
Right?
You re-gifted it?
I re-gifted a cake. Yeah, exactly. Actually, my sister gave it to my mom and I took it from my sister.
Brian started eating. You're like, put that cake down.
Yeah. Once I found out it was DeAndre's birthday again, took care of it. You're 26?
26.
All right. Cody, thanks for participating today. Really good job. Really good contribution for you, man. Love your takes.
What have you
today.
Been doing back there?
Nothing. What's our DeAndre?
DA50.
Yeah, 1 minute.
Oh, 1 minute. Okay, so 1 minute. So BK, great working with you.
Thanks.
Great working with you. It was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. We should do this again in like 2026.
It's possible.
Probably a YouTube component.
I'm in every... 6 months.
Perfect.
So.
I'm here every 9 months. Your show.
Oh, come on.
Plug your show.
Locked On Lakers.
Locked On
every
Lakers.
Every day. You can listen to it on the Locked On, anywhere you find your podcast, and of course, on YouTube.
Oh.
Where you can watch the YouTube component of the Locked On Lakers podcast.
Locked On. You talk Lakers every single day.
Every day. You ask people ask like, is it better when they win? Yes, it is.
Actually, it's better for
way better
us when they lose.
Yeah, I was
when
say,
they
I
lose,
disagree.
Me and Funch have a good show.
Yeah.
Fun, when
traffic
the Lakers,
is better when they win.
When they lose, Funch is hanging up on people. He is so bitter and upset, and it won't happen for a while. Lakers play tomorrow. I'm going to be back at noon with Mason and some of the other people. Lindsay, great job. DeAndre, great job. BK, great job. Say hi to AK. Funch. Thanks for giving me a ticket. Cody, appreciate you. You've been listening to Sedano and Cap on 710 ESPN.